broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for January the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, to use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, and most importantly, to reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Dr. Scott Bradley with me, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website, and the headline says, hey, Donald Trump paid zero in income taxes, and he's not alone. Literally 60% of Americans do not pay. 60% of American households do not pay federal income tax as well. And a lot of people would be like, hey, wait a minute, that rich guy ought to pay. Let's get him. That's what the mainstream press wants you to do, ladies and gentlemen. Look, these income taxes are unconstitutional. Okay? So I'm glad that Donald Trump didn't pay income tax. And you know what? I don't want anybody to pay a federal income tax. So 60% of households not paying, that's fantastic news. How do we move that number to 100, doctor? And how do we help people understand the proper role of legitimate, I don't know what you want to call it, taxing or fundraising or whatever you call it, to pay for the legitimate constitutional form of government? Jettisoning the IRS is one of the ways to start. So a lot of people would be critical of this. I think this is good news, sir.
Well, the whole taxing structure is Marxist in its philosophy. I mean, it really is a Marxist philosophy. And I don't remember how many tax percentage levels are. You know, it's a progressive income tax. That is the way it is. And Marx, point number two in the Communist Manifesto is a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. That's the idea. You make more, you pay a higher percentage. And it's, in philosophy, it is Marxist. It is not Americanist at all. And what's her name? AOC? She wore a dress to a gala event that she's now being questioned on because of ethics, because the ticket was like $35,000 to go there. And so she had donated, quote-unquote, this $35,000 ticket to her to go. And she wore a dress that was emblazoned with the message, tax the rich. And that's Marxist. It's her philosophy to the core. And you know, it's interesting. I see these so-called conservative senators, for example, who shall remain unnamed at this point unless you insist. But let's say there's 10 levels of percentages that are taken out. And this senator that I'm thinking of wanted to lower it to 4. You know, 4 progressively more aggressive percentages being taken out of your income based upon your income. The higher the income, the higher the percentage. And it's like, woo-woo, I'm doing something good. I'm changing it from 10 to 4. No, it's still the second point of the Communist Manifesto, a progressive or graduated income tax. And that's where we are in America today, where even the so-called conservative, constitutionalist, perspective-looking people, they get all tied in knots about something that somebody, let's take Trump, for example, didn't pay federal income tax. Well, that's the way the law is written. If you have so many investments and write-offs and you have losses, all these kind of things. I mean, it's a complex system, a very complex system, written so poorly to wheedle its way into somebody's heart that this guy, Trump, had some good tax attorneys or accountants or whatever, and he basically was able to beat the system using the laws that they've written, and now they want to hang him for that. But your point, Sam, is more to the point I would like to make too, is that the whole thing's wrong. This heavy progressive income tax is wrong. It's Marxist. Marx came up with this to enslave the world, And you know, basically most of what's in the
And that's why we should never be happy when the other guy has to pay more or push for somebody else to pay more or what else. We need to shut down the entire abusive Marxist communist system and stand for freedom. If you want appropriate taxes in America, indirect taxes are what the founding fathers wanted. They wanted apportionment taxes. They wanted taxes and tariffs at the borders so that it wouldn't be directly on the backs of the American people and it would never be used to violate your privacy. And now they violated Trump's privacy, published it till the cows come home. Now what's in the breach for you and I, but more of the same. We have got to stop this, doctor.
Well, there's no question about that. And it's interesting in the 45th Federalist paper, Madison makes the point that basically the major revenue stream for the United States would be at the border, you know, the imports and imposed taxes and so on, the duties. And that was the perspective the founding fathers had. You know, like I say, Federalist Papers reflect a lot of the original intent of what was going on, and they felt like, you know, yeah, we'll collect it at the border. I mean, it's going to be something that, you know, it'll be fairly applied, and everybody will do it, and that's the way it is. But what we're doing right now is a plain violation of the Fourth Amendment, for example, our papers being secure. And you make a point that I think has a corollary to it that probably ought to be mentioned. We've talked oftentimes on your program about how the original intent of the American Founding Fathers was the election process was to be run within the states. The individual states were to do that. And every amendment that deals with elections and voting has been an encroachment of the, you know, the original intent against the original intent of the American founders. And, you know, these Voting Rights Acts and all this kind of stuff, this attempt that it was made right after Biden got in office to canonize the processes by which the election was stolen. It would have federalized completely everything. Fortunately, it's dead now. That Congress is gone. But the fact of the matter is, this is how the tax things are, too. You kind of inferred this with, you know, here we have Trump having his taxes trumpeted, if you will, across the nation. And, well, how far behind is Sam Bushman's taxes? You know, I mean, these kinds of things are, you know, they're supposed to be kept secure. And, you know, the idea that, oh, no, our need to know vastly exceeds their need to have, you know, their papers secure and have privacy in their life. And we're on a bad path. We're just on a bad path right now. And all of this nonsense, that it truly is nonsense, is ultimately going to reflect poorly on common, everyday Americans. I mean, why not publish everybody's taxes in the newspaper? Why don't we put out a big thing that you can do? It wouldn't be on the newspaper, obviously. But you could go to the Internet, and you could look up you and your residence and everything, and you could have your taxes posted there. Why not, Sam? I mean, I know why not, but
of course, your point's well taken. It's demonstrating the absurd by being absurd, and it's literally a violation of everybody's privacies. Why don't we do a better plan and just use apportionment taxes and use tariffs at the borders to pay for the proper role of limited government at the state and the general level and call it a day? All right, in America, you could look in Utah, for example. What is there, 3 million people?
Something like that.
What was our latest budget in 2022? $25 billion for Utah?
I don't know exactly, but to tell you the truth, it's about $25 billion too much. I mean, there's got to be some carried out in the form of.
And that's the problem. That's the point. What is the number? If you take $25 billion divided by 3 million people, you get like $8,000 a person. Where's that money going to come from, people? And that doesn't even count funding the general government. It is absolutely out of control.
This was a number of years ago, so I'm not even trying to guess now what it is. But I did a study a number of years ago about the per capita federal money that came to individual citizens in the states. And it's astonishing to me the unbelievable amount of money that comes into the states from the general government. It's a redistributive process. And again, read the Constitution extremely carefully, and you will never at any point discover the authority for the general government, the federal government, you know, we argue about this a lot. We don't argue. I do it in my own mind. But for the federal government to have the authority to take from everybody around the nation and to send it out, distribute it, redistribute it to every citizen on average across the nation, it's an astounding exercise in unconstitutional activity. And by the way, that $1.7 trillion bill that they had in round numbers, $850 million for military stuff and $750 million, not million, billion, things for social kind of spending, unconstitutional. There isn't authority to do that whatsoever. So half of this big omnibus spending bill was going to social programs that there's no authority to do in the Constitution. And then much of the spending for the military defense fund, you say, oh, well, that's a constitutional process. But we have depleted our forces and our equipment and all of the things that are necessary to support our defense. By the way, we've been the world's policemen. And so we're grinding
we're out of control
by attrition. Yeah, we are. It's just bizarre.
So check these
absolutely
numbers out
bizarre.
Really quick. If you got about 3 million people in the state of Utah, and if the budget's about $25 billion, which they claim it is, even if you want to say, according to 2015-16 numbers, it's half that, fine. You get about $8,000 per person or $4,000 per person if you go back to 2016 numbers. If you do the federal numbers, you get 330 million Americans, and you've got about a $5 trillion budget, right? So 5 trillion divided by the 330 million Americans, you come up with about 15,000. So any way you look at it, you got about $23,000, anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 per household. That means in my household, I only have 2 kids home now out of 8. 2 kids are home. So me, my wife, and the 2 kids, that's 4 people. That's $100,000 for 1 year alone. That's every penny we have and more. Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're literally saddling our children and grandchildren with unsustainable. Eventually, it will absolutely crush them. Eventually, the system will absolutely implode on itself. We don't have this kind of money and resources. So when Donald Trump and 60% of Americans don't pay any income tax, I got to celebrate. But we've got to train people on what to push for. Most people are going, oh, let's do a sales tax. A sales tax would be disaster, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine an IRS that could literally drill into your business, governments do this now, and they have these corporate business audits that are absolutely crazy, Dr. Bradley, and they literally force businesses to dig up transactions by the dozens and prove they're legitimate, prove that taxes were paid, or prove exemption, or this and that. And if you choke business like that, you will eventually choke the nation. We have got to get away from this direct taxation, whether it be on businesses and or people, and move to a sustainable system that's indirect, that doesn't abuse the citizens, that literally only brings enough revenue in to fund the proper role of government. If we don't get that done, it's curtains, doctor. It's just a matter of when.
You know, there's a lot of different schemes, and that's the nicest thing I can call them, is a scheme. You know, you look at a scheme and what it really is, it's usually a scam on some level or another, you know. And for example, a value-added tax. Every time you have a transaction, you do something different to the product, another tax has to be paid. I mean, we're choking the daylights out of our national economy to do that. You look at a national sales tax, and you know, here's the deal. There's no limits or bounds on this. We could say, oh, we could do this with a 7% national sales tax or a 10% or whatever it is. But you know what? When they get in your pockets, they always want more. That's the socialist program. What's to stop them from putting a 50% national sales tax on? One of my sons was in South America for a while, and he attempted to get a business going there. And he came back. I says, why? He says, Dad, the socialist country there made it so I could not make a profit. I mean, they have all these schemes, these scams for getting money out of your pocket. And these things, you know, like I say, a value-added tax, a national sales tax, a flat tax. You know, it's interesting. You say, oh, well, we could do it with a 15% flat tax, whatever the number is right now, whatever the schemers are thinking about. Yeah, 15% flat tax. Yeah. One line we fill out on a form, we turn it in, yeah? Well, what's to keep them from going to a 20% flat tax or a 40% or an 80%? Or why not? How much did you make this past year? Send it all in. I mean, that's the way these things work. We've got to go back to the limits and bounds already established in the United States Constitution that says you can only spend money for these things. They're enumerated. They're listed in the United States Constitution. By the way, in this thing, I've brought up on my computer the real-time U.S. national debt clock. Everybody ought to do that. As soon as we get off the radio today, go look. And you look at the national debt right now is almost $31.5 trillion, kids. And then you look at stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of things. You watch the numbers go around. It's kind of like watching a slot machine go in Las Vegas where everything's, you know, your eyes suddenly start going wacko on you. But the idea of unfunded debt that we... it's deferred. There's no money coming in for it. There's nothing that's saying, oh, we're going to take care of this. We've loaded this on the back of our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And the idea, you can take the, well, let me just pick one here. Here's the debt per taxpayer for the national debt. That's it's almost $250,000 per taxpayer, per citizen, because there's children in there, let's say. There's almost $95,000 per citizen on our national debt right now. And by the way, Sam, you're talking about Utah's income tax and the national income tax and what it takes on people. When you look at all of the taxes, you know, there's a gasoline tax, there's a sales tax, there's a property tax, you know, there's an excise tax. You know, we have taken and sliced the pie every single stinking way you can. And by the way, we had almost a taxpayer's result in Utah here a couple, two or three years ago, four, I think. Anyway, where they decided they were going to now tax labor in terms of somebody performed a service for you, you had to pay a tax on what that person's service was. It's like, no, we add another layer of bureaucracy every chance we get, and the taxpayers said no, and they turned some people out of office that had been instrumental in that. Unfortunately, the governor didn't get a big splash on himself. He let some other people take the fall. But it's like left to their own, you know, initiative. These people are looking for just more and more ways.
There's no question.
To peel them
so
up.
So I highlight that it's about $25,000 per person right now if you're just to take care of the yearly budgets. I'm not talking about the deficit or paying anything off at all. And I look at that number and I say it's not sustainable. Nobody has the money for that. Very few people anyway. But you look at it and you go, what should be the proper tax burden for the proper role of funding legitimate government at the state and the general county levels? What percent would you pay on apportionment if we ran things only constitutional? And I don't know how we arrive at that number, but I cannot imagine it would be that kind of expense. I mean, even if it was $5,000 a year, $10,000 a year, it would be hard to pay, but maybe more doable. But I mean, think about it. If it was $12,000 a year, that's $1,000 a month payment, $250 a year per person. Okay, we're not even close, doctor. We are 25 times over my example right now. And my example, you know, is doable but hard. It would equal your house payment almost, or equal some of the largest payments you have, even at my suggestion. Now, if you get a significant portion of that from the border and from excise taxes and, you know, et cetera, border taxation, whatever you want to call it, tariffs of the borders, et cetera, you might reduce that number significantly, and everybody might pay, you know, $500 a month or something like that, or $300 a month, or, you know, $5,000 a year in that kind of range. That starts to get doable. But we have got to, I mean, somebody somewhere needs to look up, what if we were to carry out the proper role of government, what would the cost really be? What percent of our revenue, of my money, would it need to take?
Well, we'll see, every American right now, and I put it almost universal, has a false impression about what ought to be paid by government. And we have become, you know, we've talked about this in Isaiah chapter 3, about everybody oppresses their neighbor because we think we should feed at the trough. We should get our slice of pie. And that's a complete falsehood. The government was never meant to be a redistributive kind of body. And the reason that, you know, you can get debt, I mean, the Federal Reserve loves it when we borrow money because they know that the general government has the guns and the armies and everything else like that. They're going to get their money. I mean, we're going to continue to pay their funny, you know, baloney kinds of interest rates. We pay interest, the Federal Reserve, money that they created out of thin air. The whole thing is a complete facade. And the sound founded, the reason that they talked about the general welfare, and, you know, in the preamble and in Article 1, Section 8, was because that was the stable, predictable government. That was good government. They set the basis of that, limits and bounds, and not one penny was to be taken from anybody and redistributed to anybody else. That's theft. That breaks the Eighth Commandment. You know, God gave us these commandments, and we completely ignore them. And so we think, well, I voted for that, so my representative, the government, can take it. That makes it right? No, it doesn't make it right. And that's where we're completely off. And you say, well, we got to come to a basis of what it would really cost us. Well, first we got to come back to the idea that they can't do any of the things, virtually any of the things they're doing right now. And so it's time to go back to that baseline of what government should be doing.
Any idea what you think
doing.
The number would be if we really, you know, went to that baseline, went to that reality? Any idea?
No, I don't. I mean, but like I say, Madison thought that the imposts and duties at the border would cover the general amount necessary to run the general government. I mean, that's what the 45th Federalist Paper says. Now, I talk to people that, you know, people I respect and think they've done some thinking about things, and some of them say, no, that's not going to be enough now. And the point of the matter is that we give stupid things like China, most favored nation status. You know, we're letting them eat up our economy. We're letting them devour our manufacturing processes. They're running.
And then they literally build their military with it, though, too. Not only are they devouring it,
right,
they're creating the emesis for us.
We're doing most favored nation status for people that are going to use it against us to destroy us. And it's like, no, let's make a program that says everybody that brings anything into the country pays the same tax. And that way it's very equitable. And I think that we'd find that some of these countries weren't able to take advantage of us as they are doing right now. So,
all right,
you know,
ladies and gentlemen,
we've got a lot of things we got to do.
Taxation is a problem. Reducing the proper role of government is the answer. Boy, howdy, would it change the game. Well, California and New York are setting the nation's standard. Donald Trump's speaking out about it. I think he's right. We'll talk about that in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The Speaker of the House is the presiding officer of the United States House of Representatives. The House elects its Speaker at the beginning of a new Congress. This year, that is tomorrow, Tuesday, at noon Eastern. Representative Kevin McCarthy is the frontrunner for the roll call vote. As the border crisis continues, the amount of illegal immigrants being allowed into the country and no ability for them to work is making conditions ripe for slave labor to return to the USA. So says Andrew Arthur on Fox News. He's from the Center for Immigration Studies.
So they enter into agreements with the smugglers to work in the United States in substandard conditions, illegally under the table, in virtual debt bondage. The idea that slavery exists in the United States in the 21st century should be anathema to every American, and yet that's what's going on.
Throughout the weekend, dozens of people throughout California have been rescued during heavy rainfall and flooding. Roughly 62,000 in the Golden State are still without power this hour. The southwest lanes of the Highway 101 in South San Francisco were reported reopened after being closed for flooding Sunday. Snow blanketed the Sierra Nevada mountains at a rate of nearly 8 inches per hour. In the Sacramento Valley, a levee was breached in three places. In rural Wilton, that's about 15 minutes south of Sacramento on I-5. Let's get an extradition update on the Pennsylvania suspect in the Idaho college student's murders.
Brian Koberger could be back in Idaho as soon as next week following an extradition hearing scheduled for Tuesday. His attorney says the Washington State University grad student will most likely waive his right to extradition. The 28-year-old is suspected of stabbing four University of Idaho students to death in November. Koberger was arrested Friday in his home state of Pennsylvania. The attorney says his client is confident he'll be exonerated. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Welcome to 2023, and here we go. This is USA News.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. Go to omahasteaks.com and take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use code TREAT at checkout to get an additional $40 off your order. Send an assortment of mouth-watering favorites guaranteed to impress, like the legendary Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra juicy burgers, even easy to prepare ready in a flash comfort meals. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com, get 50% off site-wide, plus use promo code TREAT at checkout to get that extra $40 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, live, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley. So we've got problems because we have dishonesty and everything. The issue is honesty. Money's at the core. The Federal Reserve is bogus. The fiat money's out of control. Therefore, they're literally putting every generation in much further and further and further debt because they don't follow the proper rule of constitutional government in carrying out what needs to be and rejecting what needs not be, as well as finances mirroring the same troubled situation. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about California and New York. How many people are in California? 40 million. How many people are in New York? Like 25 million, something like that. I'd have to look it up to know for exact, but the numbers are close. New York and California now require all private insurance plans to fully cover abortion if they offer maternity care coverage. That means insurance, who cares, they won't supply maternity care, or they'll be forced to promote abortion. Doctor, this is serious indeed. Donald Trump said it wasn't my fault that Republicans underperformed in the midterms because the abortion issue was poorly handled. Trump posted on his Truth Social platform on Sunday about where Republicans didn't live up to expectations in the midterms. And he basically said, hey, it's because they want zero abortions. They went too far. No exception for rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And as a result, then they kind of melted down. And then, hey, they got a win at the U.S. Supreme Court, which was wonderful. But then they all vanished. So it's not his fault. Abortion's the key issue. Or pro-life is the key issue to Donald Trump as well. Your thoughts, Doctor?
I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, you know, it may be a portion of it. I think that, honestly, it's a multifaceted issue. I think people pull the lever with a D or an R based upon a visceral gut action that covers a whole bunch of things. I think Trump has been a polarizing agent. We haven't become closer together since him or Biden had any say on anything. I think that what's happened is the acrimony has grown, and the abortion thing could have affected it to some degree. But honestly, I think that it's just not the case. I think the Democrats tried to make it the central theme, and I think Trump's trying to fall back on their, you know, the Democrats' campaign stuff. I don't think most Americans were interested in facilitating abortion. And I think it became a non-issue. It's kind of like, in my mind, COVID. People are done. I mean, they've had it. We're, you know, if they bring this up again, I hope the nation absolutely thumbs its nose and turns its back on all the public health officials using Fauci as the iconic person of that. And says, you guys, take a hike. We're done with you. And I think, in a way, that's kind of where most Americans were with abortion. I don't think it was the issue at all. And I think most people, if they're in their heart of hearts, know that it probably has some kind of offense to it. I mean, I'm not sure everybody's completely sensitive to how offensive it should be. But the point of the matter is, I don't think that Donald Trump is right on this thing. And it's wrong what New York and California are doing. I hope that major industries, retail stores, whatever, Hobby Lobby, for example, or Chick-fil-A, I don't know who, you know, some of these Christian-owned companies that say, if that's the way it's got to be, we're going to leave that state. And I hope that what happens is they start to see that they basically have... People have voted with their feet, and they're gone. And the people are going to go where there's people that are principled and have character. So, California has got an out-migration. They've got a net out-migration. And so does New York, by the way, an out-migration problem. And we've got the useless eaters that are being left behind, and the producers are bailing. And... I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But getting back to your Trump statement, I don't think Trump's right on this at all. I think Trump's looking for excuses, and I don't think that he's really got some good evidence-based reasons to say that. Because I think his
pro-life point is vital. I think Americans are pro-life, but I agree with you, that's not the issue. You want to know what I think the issue is?
Sure.
Party. People realize the parties are betraying them. People realize the good old boy networks at parties prevail. Look, they all hate Trump, and so the insiders hate Trump and whatever. All I'm telling you is it's the party. People are done with the parties. They're sick of it. They're so disenfranchised, they're not going to go. I agree that the pro-life issue is one of the most important issues in America, but I do not agree with Trump that is the reason they all lost. That's an excuse. I agree. But we don't need excuses from Trump. I don't care who Trump backs or any other Republican backs. The party is the problem. They're doubling down in defense of party, or who controls the party, or who betrays the party, or who's in good with the party. More than anything else, and Americans, maybe they can't even articulate it yet, but they intuitively realize they're being betrayed by the parties. And so I think the big problem is this partisan politics. All the cheating happens at the party level as well, Doctor.
Here's the founding fathers pled with us. They warned us. Go back and read the farewell address of George Washington again, and he talks about how party will destroy our freedom. And that's basically where we've gone with this. Now, party has gained more and more and more and more and more power on this thing, and it's absolutely destroyed the separation of powers. You know, if you've got a Democrat in the White House and the Democrats control the legislature, there's no protection of legislative authority over executive authority. There's not at all. If the party thinks they're getting,
you better go along with the party or you're done. You'll be so disenfranchised and so shut down, you won't be on any committees. You won't have any friends. It's curtains for you.
Well, it is, and therein lies a great deal of the problem. And again, Marxist approach to things is to put fracture lines anywhere they can in society. And the party has become a major fracture line on this thing. We could talk, you know, I could read you things that Noah Webster said or George Washington said or Jefferson said, whomever. And we can understand that what's happening right now, this party-based nonsense. And you look at how, for example, this Speaker of the House thing that's going to happen tomorrow. It's strictly and only a party thing. And the guy that's going to get elected, probably not on the first ballot, because of some fracture lines that are there right now, he's a go-along-to-get-along guy. He's not what you would call a principles-based, constitutionally sound individual. And so we're going to have somebody that's, is he any better than Pelosi? I don't know. Maybe in some areas.
Well, he might pretend to be better and stab you in the back, or he might be better on some issues, but not enough to change anything that is functionally important.
Well, you look at Mitch McConnell in the Senate. I mean, the guys in the Senate, I mean, it's come see, come saw. I mean, whatever. Everybody's doing the same thing. And by the way, if you get a chance, you might look at what Carol Quigley said in his book Tragedy and Hope about the blending of the parties into basic philosophical same, nothing burger kind of things. So you can throw the bums out and keep the same bums in with the same philosophy and an agenda going forward. And that's where the deep state has been very successful in the United States. There are very few that stand based upon principle. And it's like when I ran for office, people would say, well, what's your platform look like? I said, well, get the Constitution out. That is my platform. That's the only platform that is the contract with America. That's the one that they swear an oath to uphold. And if it's in there, we do it. If it's not, we don't. That's the way it's got to be, people. Because the parties have become so polluted. I mean, look who gave us the Department of Homeland Security. Was it a Democrat? Heavens no. It was a Republican Congress, House and Senate, with a Republican president, you know. And it's absolutely destructive. Patriot Act? Forget about it.
Well, and the things you point to, we always say we got to get our guys on the courts. And yes, we overturned Roe versus Wade finally with that idea. But for the most part, most of the negative that's happened, Republicans have controlled the courts. They've had more appointees to the courts than the Democrats. Most abuse has taken place, believe it or not, on Republican watch.
Yeah, the Supreme Court's a prime example of this. Who nominated Earl Warren to the Supreme Court? It's a Republican president. I like Ike. You know, come on. I mean, you look at Earl Warren, for example. He was one of the principal movers and shakers of the implementation of the United States concentration camp program. Huh? Did we do that in America? Yeah, we did.
Sadly so.
We took the Japanese heritage people, we put them in concentration camps. And it was done by Earl Warren, who became the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Come on, people. If that's the people you got in there, you know you're on the wrong path.
All right. I got a few numbers about abortions in America. We've supposedly shut down Roe versus Wade, but they moved to another front, and now they're promoting abortion more than ever. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. and the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Why don't we say to the government, writ large, that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chemical abortions are now the majority abortions in the United States. The pro-abortion group, the Guttmacher Institute, released data showing that chemical abortions counted for the majority of abortions in the United States. First time in history in 2020 that started. Okay, every 3 years, the Guttmacher Institute surveys all abortion providers in America. And in 2020, listen, abortion pills accounted for 54% of all U.S. abortions. That's a 44% increase than it was in 2019. Chemical abortions accounted for 39% of all abortions in 2017, an increase from 29% in 2014. So they've known this Roe versus Wade to be overturned, and they've simply ratcheted up the chemical abortion murders. And now what they've done is you don't have to go to an abortion clinic or anything else. You just sit in your home as a woman, and you go to a special doctor that you've been guided to or directed to. He goes ahead and sends abortion pills straight to your door in a very discreet packaging, and boom, you murder your baby in your own home all by yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is disaster. But this is one of the quintessential issues we need to get a handle on in America. For example, the headline from our good buddies at Liberty Counsel, Matthew Staver and others, says this. Let's see here. Will grandma get run over? It's a very serious question, because when you dig in, it talks about how grandma, Sandra Merrick, recorded a series of undercover videos exposing Planned Parenthood's unspeakable trafficking of baby parts. But instead of Planned Parenthood officials going to prison, folks, Sandra faces years behind bars and millions of dollars in civil fines, all for exposing Planned Parenthood's evil, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know how to respond to this. Organ procurement companies sent orders to the abortion clinics seeking specific body parts. Believe it or not, some of these companies have drop-down screens on their websites where you select the type of baby you order to purchase. Another company has a catalog of what body parts you can buy from murdered infants or murdered babies. The more intact the body part, the higher the price, and the baby could not be poisoned with a chemical because it would destroy the organ that's for sale. This is a quintessential battle in America, and one serious for 2023 if we ever hope to receive God's blessings and have favor with God Almighty again, Doctor.
You know, this thing of abortion, you know, it's an abomination. It will, in fact, ultimately and finally be, I think, in the formula that says when we've reached that point of no return in terms of God's mercy and his patience and everything else like that. I mean, he must weep at how people abuse the procreative power, how they kill babies before they're born and everything like that. It's always been a problem from the beginning of time, actually. Mortality, well, I don't know if it started right in Adam and Eve's day, but Blackstone spoke about it in his commentaries. And, you know, if you want to get his original edition, in Volume 1, read pages 125 through 126. And he talks about how a child before they're born is a legal human being. It has legal standing before the law, and it can be protected by the law. I mean, and he briefly talks about that, and how the Founding Fathers understood this. He talks about how serious the matter is, you know, of a but you know what? They had potions back then to, quote-unquote, take care of the problem. It's like the final solution that Hitler tried to have. It's a problem that they've created, and they're trying to solve the problem. But here's it's astounding to me that humanity is so debauched. And, oh, let's go to that program, statement about the buying of body parts. People, this stuff is in the vaccines people are taking. And they try to downplay it and say it's okay, it's kind of like an organ donor or something like that. These kids were killed. There wasn't I'm on my deathbed and I'll will my eyes to somebody else. These people were killed. They were chopped up, ground up, and isolated in the most brutal, cannibalistic manner. And they put them in the vaccines. If they weren't in the vaccine, they were at least used in the development of it. And we have physicians, even physicians that hold responsibility in their churches, are saying, it's okay. It's for the greater good. These people are socialist,
they're sick.
Communist.
It's a lie.
Nazi kind of people.
It's a lie straight from Satan, and it's flat-out communism, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, here we are in America today.
But here's the deal. Sandra, though, is in trouble now. She's literally facing years behind bars while these abortion clinics in bed with your government buying body parts are all fine.
Yeah,
we're going to continue to fund it with our tax dollars. Back to taxes. The Republicans aren't going to stop it or do anything, are they?
Well, they haven't yet.
No.
Where's our character? Where's our principles? Where's the foundation? Where's our souls? I mean, we are selling our souls. I mean, for example, someone I know very well, let's use the vaccine thing again, a physician, and he was so jazzed to be able to get the jab. And, of course, everything that's coming out now indicates that the whole thing was a facade, start to finish, no science, nothing of any value. They got nothing good out of it, anything. But he really made me angry by saying that he was sure they were going to test these jabs on little African kids and Asian kids so it would be sure it was safe for him to take it. Talk about diabolical. Why is your skin any better than theirs? Anyway, so we take it a step beyond that. They grind these babies up and use their parts to create these vaccines. Why is it any better? I mean, we should be angry at every aspect of this thing. And yet, we have people in high places, whether they're government or church or physicians. It's just astonishing to me. And by the way, and I guess we don't have time. We're almost out of time. Recently I was doing a review of some of the diabolical things that happened in the Nazi concentration camps. And one of the issues that I spent quite a bit of time on was how German physicians and nurses, so the medical practitioners of Germany, joined the Nazi party at a rate five times more prevalent than any other full-time employed Nazis, or not Nazis, but German men, for example, or women. So here we have, back in the 40s, 30s and 40s, we have a kind of a replay of what's going. It wasn't a replay then; it's a replay now, of how, for some reason, the medical profession seems to be drawn to these things, and I know not every doctor kills babies, okay, but it's just astounding to me why these authoritarian type people that have this aura of science and the white lab jacket and all this kind of stuff, overseeing these diabolical things that happen, killing babies or chopping up baby parts in order to create a vaccine, so-called, that doesn't work. It's astounding to me that they have gone along with this stuff. And we seem to give them a whole bunch of credibility where no credibility is due. And whether it's a politician that's helping this happen or what, I don't know. But the physicians really did. In fact, I've got a little statistic I just looked up. In a very academic article that was done in regards to the physicians joining the Nazi Party, nearly 50% of those that were physicians during the era of the Nazi era, nearly 50% of them had joined the Nazi Party, higher than any other profession. And by the way, I was kind of misquoting something now that I've got it in front of me. Physicians were 7 times more likely to join the SS than other employed German males. Nurses were also major collaborators. This is a direct quote from this very academic article that did a whole bunch of research about that. You know, the SS was kind of the heartless end of the Nazi side. Mengels, for example, was an SS officer at Auschwitz. It's a bureaucracy they've created. They murdered millions of innocent people, and that's what we're doing in America. We do it, you know, nobody's seen these concentration camps. It's happening, as you talk about, in the privacy of our own homes now, where people can get this potion that comes discreetly wrapped, and you can kill your baby before anybody knows. How diabolical. I just, like I say, God's a lot more patient than I am, and I'm glad he is, because I need his patience too. But holy cow, you just wonder when the comeuppance will come.
You know? Amen to that. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand for pro-life. And everyone, I don't care about party or anything else. This idea that Sandra Merritt, who recorded a series of undercover videos to try to expose this selling and buying of baby body parts, proving the government's in bed with, quote, private industry murder for this cause, she proved it. And now she's literally fighting for her life, ladies and gentlemen. She's fighting to stay out of prison. Instead of Planned Parenthood executives or government officials involved going to prison, it's Sandra that faces prison behind bars and millions of dollars in fines and sanctions for exposing this. Matthew Staver, Liberty Counsel, LC.org, and others are doing their best to fight this. But folks, we have got to stand up on this issue. I don't know of a more important issue than life versus death and the murdering of babies, whether it be chemical abortion, whether it be delivering the baby alive and selling their body parts, chopping them. I don't know. But this is evil. Back when I started in broadcasting over 25 years ago, I remember talking about a story from the Associated Press where they would take aborted babies and they would eat these fetuses as a delicacy in China. 25 plus years later, it's a different discussion slightly. We're not eating them necessarily. I don't know how far along that will get, or the cannibalism will continue from China outward. I don't know. But I look at this and I say, I don't know that we're any better off, doctor. It's abhorrent. We've got to stop it. We've got to stand up against it. At least Trump's right on that point. Final word's yours.
Well, you know, somehow we've got to be awakened and aroused to a sense of an awful situation. I mean, we've brought up a lot of awakened awfuls today. You know, the economics of things, the idea of expansive government, the issues of taxes, the idea of killing babies. The pathway is already there for us. We have limits and bounds already established. They're foundational upon the Holy Word. They found this stuff in God's Word on the earth, and that's what the nation's based upon.
And we always point to God, family, country for the solutions, and we always will, ladies and gentlemen. We're kicking off the new year with hard-hitting talk But we're not here to tickle your ears. We're here to tell the truth and point the way to solutions. FreedomsRisingSun.com, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.